Hey everybody, John here. Before we start the episode, if you could just go and subscribe, rate, review, you know, give us a little love. It helps people find the podcast. We're trying to grow our audience. We would really appreciate it. Thanks. Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of the Moving Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, John Ruby, and this is my main man,
Corbin Goyle. Hey everybody, how you doing?
I like that he asks the question. I answers asked, it. Yeah. Hey everybody, how you doing? Doing great.
I'm doing good. Know? Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm doing good too. I'm super excited about today's episode. We're gonna get right into it. We've got the cast and then the director of the independent feature film Searching for You, which I was a part of, that we shot in Chicago, and we're gonna be discussing the film, the roles, how people got their parts, what they did in it. I'm super excited about this, Corbin. Yeah, what about you? You were there. Corbin, you were there.
I was there for a bit. I was lucky enough to tag along and help out where I can, but mainly I explored Chicago, and that place is beautiful. I had a great time.
Isn't it great? Yeah, Chicago is a lovely, lovely, lovely city. Yeah, and you got to be there. Well, great. Well, I want to start off right away. So this film, for myself, just to let people know, I had a self-tape audition, and then I had a callback on Zoom with the lovely Marissa, who I want to get to right away, because it's her baby, in a sense. It's her she has a real baby, who's older now, but this was like her creative baby. And I had a callback on Zoom and then booked it. And I just share that because a lot of times we do self-tapes and we're like, there it goes off into the air and an ether and it disappears.
Hope it went well.
Yeah. So sometimes they get watched. And I got to do this amazing project. And so Marissa, I just want to start with you and how this project came about. I know this has been an evolution from the different steps.
Yeah, this started out as a solo show about 10 years ago, and then it turned into a short film 2 years ago, and then it became a feature film a year ago, and then it got produced in this summer.
Great. And how was getting all that organized? Because not only were you acting, but you also wrote the script and then were also producing. How was it wearing many, many hats?
Oh my God, it was manic. I sat in front of my computer all day long, 12 hours a day. I think from the minute I got up to the minute I went to bed, my husband just left me alone. I think I literally mentally was like, time to put on producer hat. And then I think I reserved the evenings to be an actor. When I was in the rehearsal process or memorizing lines. But for a long time, it was producer hat and writer hat. Mm-hmm. And it started off writer hat. And then slowly it shifted to writer, producer. And then slowly it was pretty much producer.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get more to this later too. But in the casting experience, did you see anything that like kind of just blew you away just immediately? And you're like, this is so weird. I would have never imagined that from anybody. I'm so glad, you know, Chris did this or whoever. What was that experience? Yeah.
Oh my God, casting it was incredible. It like blew my mind. First, I was like, I wrote this? I was like, wow.
I'm excited.
Like, yeah, I was like, this is a really cool movie. Mm-hmm. Actors are incredible. They're so imaginative. And I felt like I was watching different movies from every person that came in front of the camera. And so I got to see so many iterations of these scenes and these words. And I got so many ideas just from watching all these auditions that I went back to the script and I was able to add more and more layers. And I really got to deepen these characters just by watching all these auditions. Mm. And then I also was like, oh my God, I have to be a much better actor. I watched all the Soon Me's and I was like, I am competing with every single actress. I was like, all of them are amazing. And I realized all the mistakes that I was making. They were phenomenal. I could have cast every single one of them. They were amazing.
That's awesome. What about Marissa, when you were watching like the self-tapes or watching auditions, were there certain things that you saw, like advice for actors you would give, you know, as far as like, I mean, you know, there's the broader things of like making a bold choice, but I'm saying like, was there things where you're like, oh, they really brought the character to life? Or what were things that stood out to you where you and the director at the time were like, oh my gosh, you got to, you know, check this person out? Or, you know, were there anything that you remember?
Specifics? Yeah. Yes. Create an entire scene, even if it's not even if you're like, I don't know if this is right or wrong, just create an entire scene, come into frame, have a world set, execute it, and walk off, or just have it turn off. It doesn't, like people say, have the perfect backdrop. It doesn't matter. You come into that world and you execute it, you commit, and you leave. And I saw this one woman, she had a crack in her wall. I think it was intentional. She came on with a bat and she grabbed the pillow. She just started speaking in Korean. She just started adding lines and she started beating the pillow. And whoever read with her was also incredible because the other woman off camera started crying and she started whispering to the pillow and she was beating it and beating it. My husband was watching it. He goes, oh my God, she's crazy. She was riveting. I was so afraid to call her back because I was like, oh, but she was incredible. Whatever she did, she created this world. She came in, she executed it, and she left. And I was like, by the end of her audition, and I was like, who is that?
Yeah, and you were affected. Oh,
yeah. She was, I mean, to this day, like I went back and I watched it over, even after the end of the movie was filmed, I went back to her video and I watched it. I was just like, I was just so taken back. I did go back to the script and I added layers that this actress did because she was, yeah.
That's really neat. I love how you wrote a script and then the actors affected you, which then evolved, you know, helped evolve the script, you know, and influenced it. I love hearing that. I want to bring into the conversation Eric, who directed the film. Eric, I know you were brought on last minute, in a sense. How did that affect kind of your preparation and coming into this project?
Well, I mean, I already knew a lot about the project because I went to college with Marissa a long, long time ago.
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago. But we hadn't been in touch I think since we graduated, but we both were friends with an actor/puppeteer that we're both good friends with, Stefano Brancato. And I think when Marissa was, I think when she had just finished her short film, he told her, hey, you know, I don't know, you know, but Eric is a producer now, you know, and I help run a film collective/production company called We Make Movies. And our kind of mission is to shepherd independent film projects. But basically, yeah, so I had been like, you know, right, Marissa, I think for about 6 months or so. We would get on the phone every 2 weeks or so and just have a long conversation. And, you know, it would be just a lot of like kind of advice and just like, you know, kind of helping her scale her expectations to, you know, what she was going to deal with and kind of getting her to wrap her mind around, like, you know, I mean, a lot of times when, and I've been in Marissa's shoes, when you're kind of the main person doing the film, you don't think of it as a business, but you're kind of starting a small business.
Yeah.
When you make a movie, you really are. So and when you're an artist, and especially when you're like Marissa, when you're an artist and you mainly have dealt with the creative side, it's hard to wrap your mind around that side. So we really went down that road quite a bit with just getting her to understand what she was getting into. And then the directing thing came up. My hat got thrown into the ring, I think at like, what, 1 a.m. East Coast time, a week before the shoot, where she called me and was basically like the second or third director she had, it just wasn't going to work out. And we talked through, I'm like, look, like I've made a lot of art films and, you know, if anything, you can trust me because we know each other. So even if we disagree, we can at least like talk things out because, you know, we've known each other for a long time.
I think there's a lot, Eric, real quick. I think the trust is really important. You know, Marissa, yeah, you're sharing this, and with Eric jumping on last minute, the fact that you knew him, obviously you wanted that trust. Eric, I wanted to ask you, coming in, since you were not part of the casting process, what was it like jumping in with the cast that had already been cast, and what is your kind of approach to working with actors? I mean, I got to experience it, but I'm just curious.
It's actually a really fun situation because, especially if they've done a good job, you know, the great thing about this was, well, no, wait, let me rewind. A hard thing to do is anytime, and I work as a producer a lot where I'm brought in at the last minute. It can be a challenge when you're brought in and there's already a team in place and there's just not the head honcho. So I've been in that capacity as a producer a lot where it's like, okay, it's all a mess. We need somebody in charge, and they bring me in, and then it's like, can I fire everybody? Like, unfortunately, that's kind of, I mean, because, you know, but luckily in this scenario, Marissa really did she did an amazing job casting, and, you know, she found a great.
I'm glad you said that, because all the actors are here. So good recovery. No, but good recovery there. Yeah,
even,
yes,
you know, exactly. Even if you weren't here, I would say it, right? But no, actually, guys, like, yeah, no, it was really easy because she did do, and you guys were already pretty rehearsed too. So there was a lot of work already done. So at that point, for me as a director anyway, I spent a lot of time in pre-production, kind of what you guys do, and just rehearse and kind of get those discovery things out of the way in rehearsal, where you have time to worry about that. Like, what is my character thinking? Where was I from? What do I eat in the morning? Why is my foot hurt? You know, like stuff like that. Like, you know, it's easier to get that stuff out of the way when time is a little more of a luxury. It's hard to do anything discovery wise or talk about story points when you're getting down to it. When you're executing, because once you're shooting, it's all about like just knocking it out at that point. You can't really mess around, especially when you're on a low budget indie shoot and you have to hit your days, you know, pretty tightly. So she had done a lot of that work beforehand. She had met with you guys. You guys had rehearsed. You guys had done your character discoveries. So at that point, for me, it was a matter of understanding what the, you know, figuring out how to put a vision to it, to the story, and figuring out what it was going to look like. And then really, like, I used to be an actor for a long time. I direct how I would like to be directed, which is basically like, leave me alone, you know, let me do my job. And if, you know, I only really give notes when there's something I really need to see differently, or I just have the actors do it a multitude of times and encourage them to do it differently. I want to jump in here
because I think what you touched upon is preparation.
Yeah.
And I think that this cast to me was very prepared. I mean, I want to bring Chris into the conversation. I saw Chris's script and there was writing all over it. And I looked at mine. Yeah. I was like, a lot of blank pages here. and so Chris, I'm just curious for you, Chris played Marissa's brother in the film, you know, and based on a real character, I'm just curious, Chris, how you prepared, what you were thinking about, you know, going through the audition process and how it felt. I mean, I know that's a big question, but start where you want.
Yeah. It's a great question, John. So this is my first feature film project coming out of training. I trained during the pandemic, mostly over Zoom. So a lot of the writing that you saw on the script was stuff that I had learned in school, but it was trying to see how it would work in practice.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to create an entire life and backstory for the character that I was playing, Alex, and so one way that I got to do that was diving into some of the research. I got to interview Marissa's brother, Nicholas.
Right.
I had some other contacts who happened to be Korean American adoptees, and got a chance to research them, hear a little bit about their story. And while they're not, no two adoptees are the same, I was trying to understand, like, you know, what was their experience like, you know, having been born in one place, being adopted to a family that had, you know, skin color that wasn't the same as yours, and, you know, living and growing up in America, and then having questions about who your family is and what they're up to and why, you know, why they gave you up. And so I got to hear a lot of different stories, and that gave me ideas for who I was trying to play. And then I think being on set, I think was really trying to find an entryway into like how, what are the parts of me that I need to dial up to like be and play Alex? And I think, and what are the parts I need to dial down? And I think, you know, just getting in tune with the script, understanding the story, having conversations with cast, and, you know, I worked with a coach outside about the story. I think I got an opportunity to identify specific qualities and characteristics that I, you know, felt were really prominent in Alex and that I could identify myself and, you know, look to turn that stuff up. And then like working with generous actors obviously helps a lot.
Yeah. Something that happened to me with you, Chris, that's never happened before when I've been on set is like, I was getting earworm from some of the lines you were saying. Like I'd be laying in bed and just hear your lines over and over again, which was awesome and also maddening. But, I thought that was so cool, and everything you're saying explains so much of it, because it seemed like you did a lot of research and tried to figure out every avenue of this person. And I guess with that, do you think Alex, the character you play, do you think he is a simple person or a complicated person? Do you think he has like a, how do you think his goals are in life?
That's a great question, Corbin. I think, broadly speaking, I think we're all really complex. And I think that Alex is someone, in order to protect himself from the world and even like the darker sides of him, I think he simplifies how he experiences the world. And I think a lot of men do that. And I think like I have experience of like, you know, rejecting the things that cause me discomfort. And I know what that's like. And I think that Alex and I'll, and as a coping mechanism for not, for, as a way to escape like the pain of his past and like some of his reality around like his parents and his family neglecting him, which is super painful. I think, you know, the easiest access, easiest emotion to access for him is anger. But it's really because he's just really hurt and really sad. But I think it's harder for him to connect with that and to be that vulnerable with, you know, and, you know, John's character, Chase, and his sister, Danny in the movie. I think we got a little bit of it with actually Dwight's character, Uncle Sam, because I think allowing himself to feel joy, you know, amidst like this like hard experience of reconnecting with his family. I think that was, I tried to like create an opportunity for like Alex to be vulnerable by like being really joyful in this moment with Uncle Sam.
I love that.
I think that's great. And you know, Chris, I saw you as the shooting days went on, I saw you grow as an actor, and it was really cool to see. Really, I saw that. I definitely felt that. And then I remember when you left, because it was kind of like a triangle with you, Marissa, and I. When you left, Marissa and I were like, "Where's Chris? We miss Chris," because we had built kind of this yeah. unit, you know. And so that was really cool. And I think, you know, I mean, I've been an actor and I teach acting and things like that. And there's something really, really wonderful about, you know, the boots on the ground and being in that environment and seeing what it's like. And sometimes it can be overwhelming and sometimes it can feel hard or easy, but like when you're just doing it, you're like, okay, this is great because this is where I can really test all this stuff out and see what's working and what's not and what I need to perform my best. You know, maybe I need solitude, or maybe I need to stay social, you know, and not get too in my head, you know, or maybe I need music. And I definitely kind of saw you exploring that, which was really, really cool. And I think that's awesome, man, because this is like the start of your journey. So that's really awesome. You mentioned Dwight, your character brought some levity to the script. Was that your intention, or is that just you as a fabulous actor?
That's a nice compliment. I try to. I don't want to boast, but like I did slightly less research on this than some others.
Well, that's a brag. I didn't do anything. Yes. That's a brag.
But not because I was feeling cocky, but like, yeah. You know, this is a rare opportunity. Yeah, I'm half Korean and you know, it's a rare opportunity to sort of like look into my own family and our own dynamics and how we behave. And, you know, I was thinking about all the, you know, growing up and seeing like, you know, my uncles who had emigrated here and, you know, thinking about the uncles who like, you know, they would get drunk at a party and then they'd start babbling in Korean and people would be laughing and I could never understand what they were saying or doing, but like, you know, it was funny because often they were very serious and very stern. So I usually saw that side of them. And then suddenly there'd be these, you know, incredible outbursts of emotion. And I thought about that and I'm like, okay, I wanted to play off that aspect because it's very human and I've seen it and I've experienced it, although, you know, observing it. And so that's where that came out, you know, and you know, Marissa reminded me that when she was, you know, giving me some instructions, like, oh yeah, I know that's something I could, I recalled, you know, in my own family, mm-hmm. tried to bring it in.
And Dwight, you know, we had actors kind of from all over, but you're actually based in Chicago, correct?
Yes.
I mean, yes, you know, I know you're not there right now. And then did you know Marissa through theater also, or kind of through?
Yeah, we first met in theater in Chicago, and I did some of the voice work for the earlier iteration for the Yellow Dress short. So I've actually had a chance to like observe the evolution, you know, of this story into the film that it is now.
Great. I want to come back, Dwight, and talk a little more just kind of about what you talked about kind of the, you know, being Korean, half Korean and kind of the history. I want to talk about that, Marissa, too, with, you know, that, how that ties in. But before we get to that, I do want to jump to, we've got a couple kids here who are part of the flashbacks. So, Annabella, do you want to say hello?
Hi,
Annabella. Hello. How was, I know you kind of had a pretty intense part. How was shooting your stuff?
Well, I think it was a little bit hard because this is my first time actually being on like a legit set. Most of my acting stuff I was doing before was like local acting theaters and all that stuff. And so it's really been a roller coaster of emotions. And so I'm just really happy that it all ended up working out.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
That's so great.
What was your favorite moment on set? What was something that you still remember?
Well, the whole thing was pretty fun because, like, running to the park and back and all of that, it was just amazing in general. I think my favorite part was when we were down in the alleyway and we were about to run down to the playground because that was just, like, that moment where it's like, okay, so it's in between filming, which is also fun, and just filming itself. I just think it's amazing, and my first experience was great.
That's awesome.
That is wonderful to hear. Thank you for that. Is it Avalyn? Am I saying it right? Avalyn? Yeah. Avalyn, how about you? How was it for you? How was your experience?
Yeah, well, it was kind of scary when Carla did the scenes with me, but when we did it over and over again, it started to get much more fun and I got into it and it was really fun. And also the makeup was really cool. I was not expecting it to be so realistic and so much makeup, but it was also really fun to get so much makeup done. Yeah, and it was just so fun. And my favorite scenes were like when all the kids were there. It was fun with all the kids, especially like when we went to the park on the slide. That was so fun. Yeah, it was
Yeah. Were you able to kind of have fun? And then when they said action, then you were able to get into character. Were you able to do that? Kind of, you were?
Yeah.
That's really great. That's great.
John. I was scared from Carla. She was such a good actor.
Yeah.
That's great.
John struggles with that. So good job.
I just, once they say action, I just keep doing what I was doing beforehand. And then I get yelled at again. That's so great. So let's talk to this meanie, Carla, hi, who I know is a sweetheart. How was it working with the kids? Now you're, you know, in some of the kind of like the flashback scenes, I don't think that's giving away too much. How was it for you kind of preparing for
Yeah, it was really awesome. I mean, just meeting them and just getting to know about them a little bit besides just working with them was such a great time personally. But at the same time, because they were so friendly, it was a bit challenging for me to kind of like absorb and try to change my character into Sunmi character and try to be mean to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mainly work with Evelyn during the set. Filming shoot time, but when we had some downtime, we just hung out a lot and joked around, and it was a pretty much a fun time. But Evelyn was such an amazing, talented young actor that we got to build a relationship as a character, as a Sunmi, and as Evelyn.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, but as
their character. So yes,
exactly.
So it felt like surreal that I actually went back to the back in days or during the fantasy world that it really created the whole atmosphere and the vibe that I was able to get into the character quickly enough, because like she was so good. So just building the relationship was a good thing, and it was a very fun thing. And it was definitely intensive because we shoot in the very small confined area, which was in the basement. And I actually stayed there for a couple nights.
Oh, wow.
So it was purposefully, Marisa, she asked me to stay, and I agreed, and it helped me a lot to
Marisa was down there. Was she banging on the furnace and stuff, like, ooh, just to get you
started? I was hoping to see that, something like that, but it was very quiet during the night, so it was quite peaceful. But yeah, it was a kind of bit scary, experimental.
Yeah,
it was
fun. That is lovely to hear. And I want to say thank you, Carla. I had to speak some Korean in this film. I don't know why Marisa did that, but you helped me with it. So I want to say thank you. And also Dwight, who's not here. Thank you for the recordings and everything that really helped me, because I planned on learning the language. And then I was like, this is getting really hard. So then the phonetic learning of it, which you sent me, was very, very helpful. Thank you for that. That was really wonderful. And what I was thinking about, Carla, when you said that, I think one of the interesting things I've found with acting is sometimes someone you get along with really well, it's hard to build a relationship when you're acting. And then sometimes people you don't know that well, but you're getting to know, you can build a relationship really quickly. And I think it's kind of one of those magical things, you know what I mean? We're hoping we can always connect, but it's just, you know, it's kind of an interesting, just the way that works. So I love that you two, I love that you two connected like that. That's great. I did have my own personal Korean coach. It's true. Coach, shout out to Coach. I want to discuss, Marisa, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, most of this cast is Korean or part Korean besides myself. And how does that, do you think, influence or play a part in this? I mean, I know you are, but I'm just curious as to kind of that idea, of, you know, if it means.
Yeah, something. I think it plays a big part. I know Carla, Bruce, and I would stay back on Zoom after everyone else would leave, like you and Chris would leave. And we would talk about growing up in Korea, and we sort of had a shorthand. And I think it was because we're Korean and we were born in Korea and, you know, had immigrated at some point to America. So we had a shorthand about what it was like having Korean parents, childhood in Korea, and what it's like, you know, having Korean parents, and how when you're raised in Korea, you grow up with certain, just certain tenets that you don't in America. You're raised a certain way, you know, parents talk to you a certain way. You have different ways that you're disciplined. And so we would have long powwow sessions, and that very much was, you know, the fabric, especially in the Sunmi world, you know, with little Rachel. a lot of that was built into that world. And so it made sense, certain things that Soon-mi did, even though it seems kind of brutal when, you know, and people will see when they see the film, like, how could she behave this way? But a lot of it can be justified if people understand, you know, just this patriarchal world that is Korean culture, older Korean culture, not so much the contemporary world that we see today through K-pop and, you know, what's very much contemporary Korea today. But we would have these long discussions, and I think it helped that we all are Korean and we had the shorthand. So it was very important for me that I hired Korean actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Eric, what about you when it came to like jumping on and trying to, you know, kind of learn quickly about these shorthands and everything that's going? Was that?
I'm, like I said, I'm used to jumping on the projects kind of when they're already, you know, deep into pre-production. So that part wasn't too difficult. I'm kind of used to being like, just like the random guy that comes in and is like, yeah, okay. Yeah. This is how we're going to do it. It's familiar for me. So it wasn't that difficult. I know it was probably somewhat interesting. It's like, oh, we were focused on having a female Korean director, and now here's this white guy. Now here's a big white guy. But yeah, so like, you know, and I talked to Marissa about that beforehand. I'm just like, you know, it just is what it is, like, at this point, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm like aware of the weirdness. So I guess it just doesn't, I mean, I'm used to just kind of jumping into things and just making it work. I think everyone relaxed fairly quickly. Like once we got through the first day and it wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't a complete circus. I think, mm-hmm. you know, it was like we all, right, John? Like we kind of like, once we kind of got rolling, it got somewhat easy.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And I realized you guys, I barely interacted with Carla, Avalyn and Annabella because I wasn't in Chicago at that point. But you got, I mean, I watched some of, you know, I was trying to do it on Zoom and that was kind of impossible, but they seemed really relaxed and easygoing. And again, they had all done the prep work. So it's kind of like, you know, and Marissa was behind the camera for those scenes. So it was, it seemed like it went pretty well and I'm editing it. So.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I love that, Eric. That's great. Marissa, I'm curious some of the challenges that came up and if you'd have any advice for someone who's looking at maybe doing their first feature or their first short film, because you've done that. What advice would you give someone that's thinking about it, maybe has written a script to kind of maybe cut off those challenges as much as you can, even though, you know, stuff comes up?
Yeah, I think having a good relationship with the director. Or if you are a director, you know, learn how to direct. I think get a director in place right away if it's you. I talked to Eric about this. He said next time you direct and find a producer. So I say that the director writer has to partner up first. And so my advice is find your director, or if you're the director, have your writer, or if you're both, great, you're set. Mm-hmm. So that director is vital. Film is a director's medium. Mm-hmm. And coming from the theater world, I didn't realize that, at least not like this. Mm-hmm. And so now that was my biggest lesson. You know, mm-hmm. Plays are a playwright's medium. You know, mm-hmm. they're on top when you think of plays. But with film, it's the director that headlines it. And so you want to find your director first, and then everyone else comes after that. Mm-hmm. And so that's my advice. And then you can assemble the producer. And then, of course, you have the script. And then, you know, I realized the fun part, which I kind of prioritize, and next time I will not. The fun part is the actors. They are like juice. And actors are amazing. And actors will say yes, because actors want to act, you know, and mm-hmm. they will act. You give them a script, you give them a space, and they'll do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you say, here's some money, here's a camera and here's a script. And they're like, yes, and. And so I realized they're the easiest people to navigate. It's everybody else that's really, you know, it's really challenging. And so I realized that next time, do not worry about the actors. You will find them. They are the most lovely, gracious people. Don't put them aside. Get them at the end. Get the director in place. Make sure you have a script that's tight. Get your producer. Get those people assembled first. Get the actors last.
I love that, Marissa. I love hearing you speak so highly of actors, because we both love actors. And I think with what you're saying, the way I distill it down is like, figure out your team as early as possible that you can lock in. You know what I mean? And I think that is really important, because challenges are going to happen. Metaphorical fires are going to need to be put out. And I think that is like, you want to be in the trenches with other people that you can turn to and say, how are we going to figure this out? You know, we got to cut one of these scenes, or we got to cut down this scene. How are we going to do it? And to have people, because sometimes when it's maybe all on you, or you're trying to deal with this, and you know, you want that team that you can trust, and that, you know, you can work through it, because that's going to happen almost no matter what. You know, I think that's kind of a given. Yeah.
Actually, we didn't ask one actor some of his thoughts. John, I wanted to kind of put you on the hot spot a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Any big chances that you took on set that you were surprised that came out of you that while you were filming, or anything like that?
Yeah, I touched Chris's face. I was not expecting to touch Chris's face.
I saw that.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, first of all, Marissa, thank you. I really enjoyed playing Chase, and I loved the whole process. And what I enjoyed was, for me, I found Marissa's son's room, and then I just snuck off into there, and then I'd be working on my lines and things. And then like Marissa would come in and she'd be like, you want to run the scene? I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. And then we'd work on it there. And then we'd go and do it again. And then we'd do it again. And I just love the reps. And then Chris would come in and Chris would be like, hey, should we run this? I'm like, yeah, let's run it. And for me, you know, you asked about big choices. I mean, I think in my audition, Marissa pointed out, she didn't know I was eating cereal, even though that wasn't called for in the scene, because I thought it would totally work, because this guy's up at like 3 a.m, is the way I saw it. And so I thought it would be fun, because that's when I'm up at 3 a.m, I'm usually eating cereal. So that was a fun choice in the audition. And I just was really trying to support my other actors, but also explore, you know, and find what can we find? What is here? And I will say, Corbin, one of the things that was really cool was we have this one scene with Chris, Marissa, and I, where we're looking about the adoption documents and stuff like that. And I looked at this and I was like, Marissa, are these like real documents? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, holy cow. Wow, yeah. Like, so that was, to me, that was really cool, because I was like, it added an extra like weight and gravitas to it that I didn't expect, versus, you know, like something that had been made on Photoshop. That was really kind of like, it felt like a life in my hands in these papers, mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, adoption. So that's actually something I do want to talk about. Thank you, Corbin, for that question. I love that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of adoption, you know, this movie is about a woman trying to find her, you know, her birth parents after being adopted. How did people, and I want to kind of open it up, how did people hear, do they know people that are adopted? You know, have how are they, you know, I'm just interested in people's possible connection to that, that subject. Yeah. Anybody have anything on that? Any thoughts on that? Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I think throughout my life, you know, I've met folks who are adopted, and I think you like having had or grown up with the parents that gave birth to me, I think like, and the way that adopted folks are like portrayed in media, I think you kind of grow like have this idea that like, people who are adopted, they have this whole part of their lives that are missing, you know, and like, how could you know? Now, of course, all of them want to know who their family is and want to reconnect, and like, you know, and then there are questions of like, how could they know who they are if they don't know who their parents are? And I think that each, you know, individual that I've met that's been adopted, I think, you know, they have a really richly unique story that's mm-hmm. different. I think one of the most memorable stories that I of an adopted person that I came across was like, I out of college in 2010, I got a chance to teach English in South Korea. And like while we're training for the week, I got to room with a guy who like had was born in Korea and adopted to a family in Iowa and was like living in like the sticks on a farm. And he had like a Midwestern accent, and he and his brother were like given up for adoption and without, you know, to make a long story short, without his mom knowing about it because there was strife between his mom and his dad. And like years later, they had a chance to reunite with their mom, and he invited me along to dinner with like his mom and a small group of friends. And it was really like touching to be able to see two people who really wanted to connect, who had, you know, who through like forces of like life and like, you know, the universe, wanted to connect, but like did not have like the simple like linguistic ability to do so. And I think it's like an experience I'll never forget. And like him like changing like the trajectory of his life to like teach English in South Korea, not knowing a word of Korean, just so that he could like learn a little bit more about where he came from.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. My only, like, I mean, I've known a lot of people who are adopted, but I think for me, this story is really unique because it's almost, most people that I've known who've been adopted were adopted when they were, you know, under the year one, you know, they were adopted fairly immediately. I don't know a lot of people that were as old as Marissa was when she was adopted. So that's, it's for me, it was a really interesting, it's a really interesting and traumatic event, especially what she went through and what the story depicts. So that's, you know, for me, that's where it's unique. I'm sure it's more often than not, but I just personally haven't known many people that were adopted in that scenario.
Annabella is also my niece, and her mom is adopted and was adopted when she was 7. Annabella, you want to share a little bit?
Sure. So yeah, my mom told me that she was adopted when she was 7. And so this movie kind of puts it all in perspective, because when she told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But now this movie really shows me how like life in Korea was not easy. And in America, your relationship with your parents is a lot different than in Korea, because if you like think about Soon-mi and Rachel, how Soon-mi is like doing all these mean things to Rachel just because of like very what would seem like silly reasons. And that also makes me think about the adopted parents, and how maybe I, at one point, the people who got adopted were like, I want to see my normal parent. I want to see my real true parents. I don't know this person. They're not my life. Who is my life? It just is really touching to
Put
it in perspective.
Thank you. Marissa, what about you? Do you feel like this story has been, not that it's been told, but do you feel like, you know, I mean, your story is very unique and specific to you. And do you, you know, what do you think?
I think I've met, you know, an array of adoptees being adopted and having been a part of various Korean adoptee communities since I was in college. And I'm often surprised by how different people are as far as the camps that they live in. Some people really identify to their adoption identity and they really lean into it. And some people are really against it. And then some people are kind of like, well, you know, this is my life. I came to America. I'm really happy with my adopted family. And I really don't need, you know, I don't really need to find my roots. I'm fine. And so I've met people across the spectrum. And I think you know, you can't judge anybody either way. And I think we have to all find our truth. And I've heard different stories across the board. Some people go back to find their families because they're curious. Some people feel like they never found themselves in America. And so they need to find themselves in Korea in order to know who they are. And some people just need to know out of curiosity, not because they feel like they're missing something. And so for me, I was just like, I don't know. I'm like, I just need to know. And then when I went and found out, I realized that I was finding a truth that I didn't even realize was missing. And then, but then I realized for me, so much of it came from an artistic creative place. And I realized that there was a story that I wanted to craft. And so really for me, it was kind of like a selfish creative place that I was coming from, more so than like a personal place where I was like, I'm missing something so deeply, you know, fundamental. I was like, oh, this is a story that I could make. And this is something that I could share with people. So it was almost like, oh, I could be a vehicle to share something to help bridge other people. Because I met Korean adoptees that were very lonely in America. And I met Korean adoptees that were very fulfilled in America, but they were a little curious. So I was like, how can I bridge all these communities together? And I had watched so many documentaries. And so I was like, how can I create something that is not a documentary? I was like, I haven't seen a narrative film. And I was like, that would be really cool to create a narrative film on this. I had seen an animated film, and that was really cool. Mm. So I wanted to kind of explore that creative space. So, but as far as adopted communities, adoptees that, you know, and what, how they relate to their adoption experience and where they fall on the spectrum of Korean adoptees, you know, Korean adoptees that want to find their birth family, Korean adoptees that are really satisfied with their lives in America, and Korean adoptees that are completely missing a whole. I've met my my fair share of everyone across the spectrum, and I feel like we're just all trying to find our truth within it. And for me, I realized that my truth is as an artist, and I'm sort of seeking out stories. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I landed on.
Yeah, I use that word, use the word selfish, which I know sometimes can have negative connotations, but I think there's something where sometimes we need to be selfish. And that can be if you're creating something and you're like, I want to be a part of this. And I'm like, you know, like whenever I have actors that are like, okay, we're going to start a theater company and we're going to do 8 plays a year and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, make sure you get in the first one, because sometimes only one happens and sometimes 0 happens. Sometimes 8 happens. But my point is, like, I think that selfishness in a sense can be a driver. And it can drive us to things, and it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, and you didn't use it this way, but my point is, I think that's a really cool thing that you were like, I want to, like, almost like in a good way, selfishly tell this story and get it out there, and look what it's created, a play, a short film, and now a feature film. So I think that's awesome. Dwight or Carla, I'm just curious, why do you think people should see this this film?
For me, I, when I read this whole script, it touched so much that it was relatable to my childhood somewhat, not as like a Marisa who just went through such a traumatic life event when she was young, but I wanted to kind of be a part of this project as a person who also could have been in the Korean society back in the days where there was Korean orphanages were present, and there were a lot of people were adopted to America or to other European countries, and that was a way to kind of like make those Korean populations or the people who were in the very, very poor situation and to be kind of lifted to the other countries so that that country by itself can be changed and grow for the better or economically too. So I think that culturally, I think it presented really well that during the time of back in like 80s or 70s or even 90s. And also it really depicted closely about how Sunmi character because I can talk about my character because I was me. The mom's character back in the days was portrayed as a very mean and angry person, especially this one. But I could also relate to the cultural aspect that a lot of people were abused, like got beaten and punished physically. And I could say that I was also one of them because my mom would never really like beat me to the point that I almost like died or my mom had to go to the jail or anything. But back in the days, like punishing the children or adopted kids were somewhat normal, quote unquote normal, because that's how people grew up, by getting beaten by their parents or by adopted parents. So I think that just showing that aspect as well to the people, it could be very shocking or traumatic, or some people might thought that, oh, like I also had this experience as well. So it's relatable. So that's how I see it. That's how I see that, how this young, that this young character grows up to be a woman and thinks back in the days that she got traumatized through this, you know, my mom, and how she is kind of subliming, or how she is kind of like regurgitating all those like life experiences to be free at the end of the story. I thought it was very, very uplifting. So yeah, I think everybody should watch to learn about more about the Korean adoption stories about, and just the culture in itself generally.
Dwight, anything to add to that? Thank you, Carla.
I think the story is really important because I'm deeply interested in, you know, Korea's history and development. And, you know, of course now, you know, for anyone who's sort of a mainstream audience today, Korea is so different from when I was growing up. I mean, it's a cultural and economic powerhouse, you know, and, but, you know, the earlier period when things were more tumultuous, when there was there was a very, adoptions were very widespread and I think this is all very important for understanding where Korea is now, you know, and I don't want to see that history forgotten. You know, it's tumultuous, but I think it's very important. I have a lot of sympathy too. My, you know, in a farther back, my mother and her sister actually grew up partially in an orphanage, not because they were orphans, but because it was the only work my grandmother could get at the time. And this is going way back. This is the Korean War. And they even have a somewhat humorous story of how my grandmother was actually not supposed to be bringing her children to the orphanage, but there was no one to watch them. And she had to make up lies to like Americans, like, no, you don't want that kid. They cries too much. Cause that was actually my mom and her sister. but my mom said she knew all these young children who later, like, you know, when we're picked up and taken away, and I don't want their stories forgotten.
Great. Well, this has been really lovely, wonderful, and thank you for that, Dwight. Evelyn, I was wondering if you wanted to kind of end. I heard you gave a gratitude speech on set.
Yes,
do you remember
great.
What? Do you
no,
remember
that was
what
Annabella.
That? Oh, so Annabella. Okay, yeah. Annabella. Sorry, Annabella. I heard you gave a gratitude speech. Do you want to give your gratitude speech? Can we hear what that was about?
Well, it's going to be hard to repeat it word for word.
That's okay.
But basically, I was just thanking everyone about this wonderful experience, because this is like,
could we do it? Could we do it now? Could we do it now? Just pretend you're doing it again.
Okay. So I'd like to thank everyone for every part they've played, every role they did. I'd like to thank the producer. I'd like to thank the director. Everyone's been so helpful. Thank you so much to all the actors. It's just been so cool, this whole experience. Yeah.
That's great. That's so there great. We go. There we have a more mature actor than Corbin. Corbin, were you taking notes on that?
I just want to say that Evelyn is like has such a strong attention span. Like, she's been like she's been sitting in. Here so patiently 100%. The whole time. Like, she's thank so you. In it.
How yeah. old are you, Evelyn? Annabelle, Evelyn, how old are you?
7 and a half.
7 and a half. That's wonderful. And when you turn 8, are you excited to turn 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good age. That's a good age. Well, thank you for that, Evelyn. And thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. You know, Marissa, Dwight, Chris, Annabella, Evelyn, Carla, Eric. This was just wonderful, lovely. I hope everybody goes and checks out the movie Searching for You. You know, Marissa's put her, you know, heart and soul into this, as we all have. And it's not easy to create a project, a film. It takes a lot of work, more than people understand. And so, you know, Marissa, kudos to you for, you know, mm-hmm. being the driver of this train and really keeping it going. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time and discussing, you know, some of these heavy topics and some lighter ones. So thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Moving Spotlight Podcast. Corbin, what movie? Such a good episode. What movie am I going to recommend?
Oh, Searching for You, obviously.
Spelled Y-O-O.
Y-O-O. Spell it right.
People are like Googling like Y-O-U and they can't find it. Searching for You, Y-O-O. Go check it out. Like we said in the episode, people put their heart and souls into this. Mm-hmm. It's a, you know, it's a really good film. Please check it out. Please support it. Support independent film. Thank you for listening to the
Moving Spotlight Podcast.